Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is August 19th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Recession fears and global stimulus. These are going hand in hand today. Last week, everybody thought we were in the midst of a recession because the 2- and 10-year notes inverted for the first time since 2007, sending an ominous signal to the markets that a recession is around the corner, sending the Dow Jones Industrial Average to suffer its worst day of 2019, losing 800 points. We covered that last week. But today, lo and behold, everything is A-OK. The fears of recession are gone. They are no more. This is a joke. This is a joke, okay? Unfortunately, however, there are people who out there, this is what's in the mainstream media, the financial mainstream media. Last week, it's recession. Today, those fears are gone. This is a joke. We are living in the Twilight Zone. This is all headline news. Don't look underneath the hood. Don't do a deep dive into the data. Don't look at the things that are rolling over. Don't look at the data that is saying, you know what, a recession is around the corner. Don't have an adult discussion about what recessions actually are, and they are a healthy process as you make your way through the business cycle. It is to undo malinvestments. It is to get rid of zombie companies. It is to get rid of the weak, the inefficient. And as a result, the economy, society will be better off. Is it short-term pain? Sure it is. Can it turn into long-term pain? Absolutely. How is that more likely going to happen, that it becomes from short-term pain to long-term pain? By doing the exact things that we have been doing for a decade. Low interest rates, zero interest rate policy, negative interest rate policy, more and more debt, more and more debt, more and more debt, because we just keep kicking the can further and further down the road. And of course, we hear today that Donald Trump and company want to see if we can issue 50-year bonds and 100-year bonds. Talk about kicking the can down the road. What type of interest rate are these things going to yield? 1%, 2%, 2.5%, 3%, because you have the 30-year treasury that just hit a low, an all-time low about 2%, and it actually went a little bit below 2%. So what's the 50-year going to yield? What's the 100-year bond going to yield? 2.5%, 3%, 3.25%, what's it going to do? You're going to put your money away for 50 years to get nothing? You're not even going to come close to beating inflation. This is a complete joke. There is no responsibility. Let Tariff Man and the King of Debt just continue to push everything out, draining the swamp. No, let's just continue to borrow and spend, borrow and spend, borrow and spend. Where are the fiscal conservatives? I have no idea. They're non-existent. We have the stock markets, global equity markets today rallying because there are hopes that were taking place over the weekend and continuing today that global central banks and even some governments are now going to start stepping up to the plate and continuing with their stimulus measures. Well, no duh. We've been talking about this. This is what they've been doing. So how does this come back into the news as being something as an ultra positive that moved global equities up today about 1%? Another percent. On Friday, markets were up 1%, a little bit more. And today, they continued that trend. Now, of course, this was on the back of a very weak last week, but you know what? This is all a bunch of headline-driven news. Once these markets have to look at the fundamentals, and I believe that they actually are starting to look at them, but you have these desperate measures being taken by governments and central banks the world over, particularly here in the United States, more his advisors Peter Navarro and Larry Kudlow. This is a triple come out. They spew a lot of BS. They tell you everything's fine. They continue to tell you that we're talking with China, that everything's fine, that there's going to be a deal, but we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. That means China's not ready yet. That's how Donald Trump is playing this. Donald Trump is negotiating with himself. Okay, make no mistake about it. He thought he was tough because he was listening to his idiot advisor, Peter Navarro, who needs to be fired, who needs to go. He lies with every breath he takes when he gets in front of the news and tells people that China's paying all the tariffs, that trade wars are fine, and that the Federal Reserve needs to cut interest rates. And now you have the same exact verbiage, the same exact phraseology coming from Donald Trump. Same thing. Exact same thing. So who do you think's coming up with it? It isn't Donald Trump. It's Peter Navarro, I can guarantee you. But shame on Donald Trump for not knowing better and for listening to this nut job. He needs to go. There's been a number of studies that have come out from the IMF, Bank for International Settlements, some other major economists and banks out there saying, you know, look at these tariffs and who's actually paying the cost. And of course, we know who it is. It's the U.S. consumer and it's U.S. importers and exporters. This is no joke. You know, Peter Navarro thinks it's a conspiracy against him. It sounds like Donald Trump, who thinks there's a conspiracy against him, with the mainstream media talking about a recession. Why? Because the yield curve inverted. Why? Because unemployment is bottoming out. Why? Because global and domestic PMIs, Purchasing Manager Index numbers, are rolling over. Why? Because construction spending is slowing down and rolling over and is negative. Why? Because of a whole host of other data points that we talk about here on a daily basis. This is not a conspiracy theory, Mr. President. This is a business cycle doing its thing. It doesn't care who is in the Oval Office. Get over it. You made a foolish blunder by taking ownership of the stock market and the economy. Shame on you. Shame on you. I don't know how stupid you could be to come up with that type of idea. I can understand to a degree the economy. You know, you want to cherry pick some numbers here and there. That's what administrations do. That's what politicians do. I was hoping you would rise above that and say, no, I'm here to drain the swamp. We need to structurally change this country for the better. We need to restore it to American values and principles. We need to get back to understanding and adhering to the U.S. Constitution. But no. Let's make everything superficial. Let's talk about the economy. Let's take ownership of the stock market. And let's continue to prime the pumps. Let's continue to prime the press. Let's continue to call for quantitative easing and extremely low interest rates. I mean, it leaves you speechless. Leaves you speechless because these are the exact same policies that continued under Barack Obama. So now you have all these Republicans who love Donald Trump. They hated Barack Obama, but now they love Trump. Trump is doing the same exact thing that Barack Obama did. Period. End of story. And he's actually calling for more of it. So how can you be a Republican? How can you be a fiscal conservative and stand behind and with this president for what he is calling for? At the same time, be dead set against Barack Obama. Because this is what Barack Obama did. He increased the national debt. He basically doubled it. Well, Donald Trump is on the same path. He's on the same trajectory. Oh, well, he's spending it here. He's spending it there. He's spending it on the things I like. Oh, is he? And how's that working out? Not too well, is it? $23 trillion in debt with no end in sight. And now, Thunder Thumbs wants to add another bond to our arsenal, a 50-year bond and a 100-year bond. That's great. That's great. Let's not take leadership. Let's not take responsibility for a whole host of things. And that's the other thing that just makes it so stupid for this president and the administration to take ownership of the economy and the stock market. This isn't their fault. Donald Trump wasn't a politician. He wasn't a governor. He wasn't a senator who's been in there for 30 years. He wasn't a part of the swamp, if you will. Now, what maybe he was doing behind the scenes, who knows? To some degree, I'm sure. He was a real estate tycoon in New York City. I'm sure there were some backroom deals going on, okay? Let's just be real here. But it doesn't mean he was a huge member and a contributing factor to the swamp. But maybe he was. Maybe he was. We were hoping that he wasn't. But the swamp is very much alive and well. And the president is calling for the exact same things that keeps the swamp running on all cylinders. More debt, more lies, more exaggeration, more Federal Reserve. Keep it going, no problem. The S&P was up 1.2%, the Dow gained 1%, the NASDAQ was up 1.4%, and the Russell 2000, the small cap index, gained 1%. The Dow Jones Transports also gained 1%, and the New York Stock Exchange was up 0.9%. Oil has caught a bid over the past couple of days. A lot of the headlines are coming out, and it's more Mideast tensions that are coming up. There was an attack on a Saudi oil field. How convenient. Oil prices have been going down, and there is an attack on an oil field. WTI is trading at $56.26 a barrel. The international benchmark Brent crude is trading at $59.83 a barrel. And of course, this is on the hopes, too, that these stimulus measures, which we're going to talk about here shortly, will come to pass and they are going to work. They will come to pass and they won't work. That's my prediction for you. Gold, because of the stimulus measures and everybody, there's a risk-on trade now, so everybody is flocking to equities. Gold took a hit today and is now trading at $1,497 an ounce. Silver also pulled back and is trading at $16.90 an ounce. Any type of pullback on the precious metals, as far as I am concerned, is a gift. It will be a gift that keeps on giving while these idiots and addicts on Wall Street continue to think that more stimulus is the solution when it is not. So it might have an adverse effect on the precious metals. Look at that as an opportunity to buy, ladies and gentlemen, because I still stand pat in my belief that we are in the midst of a precious metals bull run, and we will be for quite some time. The U.S. 10-year Treasury note gained about 4 percentage points and is now yielding 1.59%. So a little bit of a reversal from last week. That goes to the risk-on trade, getting into riskier assets such as stocks. The VIX lost about 9% today, the volatility index, and is now trading at $16.88. So, a few other items we're going to talk about here real briefly, because I just saw this come across Bloomberg, but this was actually from MarketWatch. Walt Disney. We now have a whistleblower from Walt Disney, a former employee, an accountant, and financial analyst, I believe of 18 years, has come forward and has made their case before the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, saying that Walt Disney has been falsely increasing their revenues. Now, this is an allegation. The corporation, Walt Disney, is innocent until proven guilty, just like General Electric is innocent until proven guilty of those allegations that were charged against them that were made public last week by Harry Markopoulos. We did a podcast on that. We talked about that also briefly yesterday, because that could, very honestly, folks, be the catalyst that gets this whole house of cards to crumble down once again. So again, just as a refresher, especially if you haven't checked out that podcast, I advise that you do so, because I think that's a very important podcast, and we will be following up on that. But Harry Markopoulos is the forensic accountant who came to fame or notoriety, if you will, during the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme scandal, because it was Harry Markopoulos who shed the light on that Ponzi scheme. And now he is pointing the finger at General Electric, saying they have tens of billion dollars worth of shortfalls and they're probably going to end up in bankruptcy. So I advise you check out that podcast. I also advise that you check out Harry Markopoulos, because he was giving a couple interviews on Yahoo Finance, CNBC, and I'm sure he made some other circuits as well. So do yourself a favor and understand that, because that is huge news. GE is a household name. That'll be akin, if they should actually go down, file bankruptcy, or really become downsized, that will be akin to a Bear Stearns going out of business, a Lehman Brothers event. Believe me when I tell you. So we have Walt Disney again, allegedly fixing the books, overstating revenue. This is an allegation. We'll keep you posted on this, but this is another one that is starting to come out. We are going to have to see if this is the start of a trend. It can be quite frightening. It can get out of hand very quickly. This will go to the whole question of trust and confidence in the entire system. If you can't trust GE, if you can't trust Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse, who can you trust? So, global stimulus measures. Germany might actually be stepping up, if that's how you want to put it. No, that's how the markets want to put it, because they like it. They want more stimulus. Now, you have Germans who basically have a balanced budget. They do not like debt. They do not like inflation. Gee, I wonder why. If you understand the history of the Weimar Republic, you know, the pictures of people wheelbarrowing around Deutschmarks, you know, they had to burn them. I mean, that's all they were good for. I mean, you were sitting down for lunch. You looked. Your lunch was going to cost you so much, by the time you went to the cashier, you're done with it, it rose exponentially. I mean, this is why the Germans have a balanced budget. This is why they're fiscally prudent. This is why they don't want to take outsized risks. Makes sense, doesn't it? They understand their history. But now they are being bullied by the rest of the world, evidently, to, nope, Get in there. Forget your balanced budget. Forget being fiscally responsible. And start issuing a whole bunch of debt. And get out there and stimulate, stimulate, stimulate. Well, they actually might do it. And they probably will. Will it work? No, it will not. It'll be short term. If that. It's already basically being priced into the markets. Because how big of a stimulus are they actually going to offer? I mean, you're talking about a global economy that is tens and tens of trillions of dollars. What are they going to put in? A few billion? 10 billion? 50 billion? That's nothing. It'll be extremely short-lived. And don't forget, diminishing marginal returns is already here. It's already here, folks. It'll be here for fiscal stimulus. It's already here for monetary stimulus. So much of this is priced in. There's only so much we can do. I mean, the Fed just cut rates last month, and look what happened to the stock market. It sold off because we were in wait-and-see mode for 8 months in anticipating the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates, and that's exactly what they did. What have we been saying here for the longest time? These are going to be buy the rumor, sell the news, and that's what happened. That's what happened. Is there the possibility of a melt-up? Sure there is. There still is. Because these markets are rabid. They're completely irrational, and they don't care. It has nothing to do with rationality. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. So, you know, that's a brutal lesson that I have learned. It's a brutal lesson that most people learn when it comes to the stock market. It's very difficult to apply rational thought to a very irrational environment, to a very irrational market. It drives you crazy. Because you say, well, if it's looking at the data, if it's looking at all the news, if it's supposed to be efficient, then, you know, it should be correcting to fair market value. There's no way at these prices, at these valuations, that this is sustainable. We cannot have trillion-dollar companies or near-trillion-dollar companies. We can't have this amount of debt. You can't have trillions of dollars in the junk bond market. You can't have, because I'm including BBB in that, by the way, because I think the junk bond market is actually $1 trillion. But if you add a whole host of other companies that are currently rated BBB, one notch above junk, a lot of those companies are junk too, believe me when I tell you. So now you're talking about trillions of dollars in a junk bond space. You look at this and you say, well, this is unsustainable. There's no way this can happen. Wall Street doesn't care. If they're getting money, they're going to put it where they want. And they're going to try to keep bidding this thing up. And then you got a president who's obsessed with the stock market. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but when the market sold off last Wednesday, again, the big day, 800 points in the negative for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Donald Trump was on the horn with a few of the country's largest banks. He was talking with a few of the CEOs. I believe it was JP Morgan, Citigroup, and I think the third one was Bank of America. This sounds like the plunge protection team. Again, 1984, George Orwell. He couldn't come up with this. The plunge protection team getting on the horn. What are you guys going to do about it? Don't you know I've taken ownership of this? We can't have this. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? Is this market manipulation? Is this an abuse of power? Seems like it, because these are the exact same banks that Steven Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, spoke to in December of 2018. And that was the same day, or the next day, Donald Trump comes out and says, buy the dips. Is something going on behind the scenes here? Is there market manipulation? Because if there is, it needs to be investigated. It needs to be. I mean, I didn't vote for this. He isn't above the law. This isn't an abuse of power. You have to understand, folks, he is not just a standard citizen, civilian of the United States of America. He is the president of the United States of America. He has an extreme amount of power that has been granted to him by the American people through the U.S. Constitution. Nowhere in that Constitution does it give the president the power to sway and move markets. And he does so on a near daily basis because he is obsessed with them. And I, for one, have serious questions as to whether or not he's profiting from his office, whether his children are profiting from his office, other people in his administration are profiting from these tweets and comments, friends of a friend, anybody, because he knows what he's going to say, he knows what he's going to tweet, and you can have a very high probability as to understanding how the market is going to respond. Oh, everything's going great with China. Yay, yay, everything's great. Market goes up. Oh, you know what? I'm tired of President Xi playing these games. They were supposed to buy more corn, and I'm just getting sick and tired of it. Even though we're not in any hurry, we're going to have to put on more tariffs, and the markets sell off. Do you think you didn't know that was going to happen? You can make money on both sides of the trade, ladies and gentlemen. You get the drift? And now you got the president out once again over the weekend saying, well, we're talking with China. That's all it takes. All he has to say is we're talking with China, and these rabid idiots on Wall Street just take it. They just think everything's fine. And they say, well, it's something to run with. Let's do it. Let's do it. Maybe it's the algorithmic trading. Maybe it's all computer generated. I don't know. That's beyond me. I don't do that stuff. I don't program those things. It's not me. But you know what? It's unbelievable. Are they reading? Are these computer systems, are they scouring Twitter and the internet for headlines, and they just making decisions based off of headlines? They very well could be. That would, you know, sort of explain some of the craziness that we're seeing here. But nevertheless, the president again is obsessed with this thing, the stock market. He is tying his election, his campaign to this. Again, how stupid can you be? This is laughable. I mean, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. I mean, the economy is one thing. I'm sorry to keep harping on this point, but it's important. And the channel is growing, and I'm getting more people are joining here. And for that fact, I voted for Donald Trump. I'm a libertarian, but I'm fed up with him, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought he was going to do a whole host of other things. I thought he was really going to focus on draining the swamp. He's not doing that at all. Doing the same things that Barack Obama did, calling for more stimulus measures and emergency measures from the Federal Reserve, zero interest rates, basically, and quantitative easing. And in fact, the president was tweeting that out again today, that the Federal Reserve needs to cut basis points, not by 25 basis points, not by 50 basis points, but by 100 basis points. That is 1%, okay? That's huge. That's a big drop, okay? And then he's also calling for more quantitative easing. The same policies, the same thing that when he was a candidate, he was railing against. He said, this is causing a bubble in the economy. It's causing a bubble in the stock market. Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. The Federal Reserve doesn't know what it's doing. Now, he's president, and that's what he wants the Federal Reserve to do. Again, I can't stand behind this. This isn't what I voted for. So I'm not going to say, well, I voted for him, so I'm going to let him get away with this stuff. No. You have an obligation as a U.S. citizen, taxpayer, and voter to be vigilant. I mean, you're going to be lied to. You want to continue to be lied to? Go ahead. Be my guest. It's a free country. You think you're being told what you want to hear? Good. Good for you. I'm not being told what I want to hear, and that's not even how I operate. I want to see some action. I'm looking at the data. The president wants to say, yeah, we're nowhere near a recession. He wouldn't come out and say this if that wasn't true. Why would he have to come out and say we're not in a recession? I mean, why would he have to come out and say it? Why would Peter Navarro and Larry Kudlow have to make the Sunday morning news circuit and say everything's fine if everything's fine? You get my point? These are some of the other signs that come out when things are rolling over and turning over. And again, when I said this yesterday in our week ahead segment, you know, a little optimism never hurt anybody. Larry, optimism doesn't pay the bills, pal. I appreciate optimism, but it doesn't put food on the table. So we're looking for global stimulus from the Federal Reserve, from the ECB, from China, again, through a couple different measures, and Germany. So everybody's happy for now. It'll all be short-lived. Believe me when I tell you, it will be disappointing, just like everything else has been disappointing. It doesn't work, folks. This is the business cycle doing its thing. The more they pile on, the worse the correction will be. Why they can't be honest with us? It's because there's no leadership. Or these people get off lying to us. It's one or the other. Could be a combination. You know, and then we have some other discussion here with this is really the art of the deal versus the art of war. I have yet to read The Art of the Deal, the president's book, but I have read the classic The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I believe this is a book that many militaries around the world require their officers to read. And I think that's true of the U.S. Marine Corps, if I'm not mistaken. That officers within the U.S. Marine Corps, and I'm sure it very well could be true of other branches of the military, are required to read The Art of War. It's a very good book. It's a short book, filled with a lot of wisdom, and I think most of it's just common sense. But unfortunately, common sense is not common. And that's, I think, what we're up against. The art of the deal versus the art of war. And right now, I have to give it to the art of war, because I honestly believe that Donald Trump right now is, like I said at the top of the program, is negotiating with himself. Because he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. China is just basically, President Xi is just basically sitting back in a lazy boy recliner, or whatever chair fancies him, you know, he fancies, with his arms crossed and keeping his mouth shut. And it's just driving Donald Trump crazy. Why aren't they buying agricultural products? They promised they were going to buy agricultural products. No, we never promised we were going to buy agricultural products. Well, that's okay, because we're not in any hurry. And then a couple of days go by. Oh, President Xi's taking too long, and they're not holding up their end of the trade truce, so we're going to slap more tariffs on them. Okay, slap more tariffs on them. China comes out and says, yeah, we're going to halt all purchases of U.S. agricultural products. Oh my God. Okay, well, we're bailing the farmers out with billions and billions of dollars that we've been taking in from the Chinese. Of course, that's not true, but we're still bailing them out. That's very true. And most of that money is going to corporate farms. It's not going to the smaller family farms. Most of it's going to the corporate farms. This has been reported. You can go look that up. And we have multi-year high farm bankruptcies. So this is just winning all over the place because trade wars are easy. Of course, they're not. Of course, they're nonsense. Of course, this is the brainchild of Peter Navarro. He needs to get out of there. Fire him. So Donald Trump is negotiating with himself. And now, which we talked about last week, the president's saying, well, we can delay. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We won't get rid of them entirely, but we'll delay some of the tariffs that we were going to put on that were scheduled to go on September 1st. 10% tariffs on an additional $300 billion worth of Chinese exports headed to the United States. Okay? We're going to delay half of that because of the holiday shopping season, and we're going to delay them until December 15th. Because just in case, we don't want these tariffs to hurt the U.S. consumer. No. Hurt the U.S. consumer? No. Peter Navarro and Donald Trump have been telling us for months the U.S. consumer isn't paying a nickel in higher costs for consumer products. No, not a nickel. Neither are the U.S. importers and exporters, those companies that bring that stuff in. Mm-mm. No. Not them. They're not paying for it. It's all China. They're writing a big check to Uncle Sam every single day and putting it in the mail. I guess not. I guess we've been lied to. An admission. Now, of course, Donald Trump didn't come out and say that he lied. He didn't come out and apologize. No. That's not what this president does. He doesn't take ownership for any mistakes. It's not what he does. He takes credit for all the good, blames everybody else for all the bad. We've been talking about this for months. We told you how he was going to dance out of it, and that's exactly what he has been doing. This is a man who is desperate. This is a man who is concerned with his election bid. Because those Rust Belt states, those farming states, I mean, what are these people going to do? I mean, they have to look out for their families and for their business. They're filing bankruptcy. Their friends, their families, they're filing bankruptcy. I mean, this is how elections unravel. Okay? This is what happens. You know, to make these claims that everything is easy when it isn't is a disservice, a huge disservice. And now you have people suffering the direct consequences of this. So it was an admission by Donald Trump last week that Americans are paying higher prices because of this trade war. It's a true shame. Because this all comes down to the credibility of the president. This was the main reason I wrote my letter to the president of the United States. That letter is posted on our website, thecapitalnews.com. I also did a podcast on it where I read it aloud. I ask that you take the time to read it. I think it's important. I think it's a well-written letter. I think it was thoughtful, and it was done to be constructive. It was a constructive criticism of the president, his administration, and what I thought was going to happen. And what I thought was going to happen is now happening, because you have the president coming out and saying one thing, that things are still going great and blah, blah, blah. But of course, he's now concerned. He's now negotiating with himself. He's now backing down. And China is just sitting there and everything's fine. And sometimes they'll counteract the president. The president will say things are fine. China says, well, you know, we're still going to retaliate. So now the question comes, and this was the heart and soul of my letter and my analysis, was if this happens, which it now is, the president says one thing, China says another, who does the world believe? Because if the world starts to believe China over the United States of America and a sitting U.S. president is trumped by communist China, we're in a whole host of problems. Whole host of problems. And anybody who disagrees with that doesn't know what they're talking about. So it's the art of the deal versus the art of the war. And I'm just going to leave you with this, because this is in the same vein. Because these tariffs were placed, and now I'm going to get on the steel tariffs and aluminum tariffs. These were placed back on March of 2018, so over a year, about a year and a half. And since that time, U.S. steel, yes, U.S. steel, is down 73%. 73% in market cap. Does that sound like winning to you? It's not. Trade wars are not easy. You know, I applaud the president on certain things where it's deserved. There hasn't been much to applaud him on recently. And it's frustrating because I voted for him. It's frustrating because I am a patriot. I believe in the United States of America. I believe in the U.S. Constitution. I believe in our values and our principles. And what I am witnessing is disgusting. It is disgraceful. And it's not just at the White House. It's not just with Donald Trump. It's with President Obama. It's with President Bush, President Clinton. It's with members of Congress, both parties, Senate, House, you name it, you got it. Enough's enough. There are no leaders, none, nowhere to be found. It's all name-calling. It's all stupid, idiotic tweets. Nobody can rise above anything. Nobody can tell the truth. It's all headlines. It's all kicking the can down the road. There is nothing. You are in the midst of witnessing the breakdown of the United States of America and other countries and societies around the world. That's where we are in 2019. That's not the highest note I've left on this podcast, but unfortunately, that's where we are, and we have to face reality, because if we're going to fix the problem, we're going to solve the problem, you have to stare it straight in the eye and have the audacity to tell the truth. Why that's so difficult in this day and age is beyond me, but that's a sign of the times, and it's pathetic. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will leave you with that. We will be back tomorrow. We will see what happens with these crazy markets. Will they continue to buy this stimulus measure, or are they saying, you know what, we're looking beneath the hood too, and things ain't pretty, and we got to protect our portfolios? Time will tell, but stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.